Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. You listen to a special edition of Inside Financed. I am now speaking with Mr. Timothy Antwine, outgoing permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance and newly appointed to the position of the governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. Timothy, thank you so much for just being able to be so open with us and to talk your story, really, and reflecting. And I'm sure people appreciate it. I am, and I'm sure my listeners are. Now, you have worked in the Ministry of Finance for about 14 years.
22 years. Take us, of course, leave out the 2 years at the World Bank, but I started in 1993.
Wow, is that long?
I've been PS 14 years.
Most of your working life, you have been in the Ministry of Finance.
Pretty much, correct.
What is it like working with the politicians, with prime ministers, within the Ministry of Finance? And at times I know there are difficult decisions to be taken. There are also difficult things to be said to your superior. What is it like for you working there and trying to provide leadership, one, within there and give guidance and advice?
Well, the first thing I always remind not myself but also my colleagues in the Ministry of Finance is that respect the fact that we live in a democracy. And in a democracy, the citizens get to choose their leaders. We have elections, people get elected into office. We don't get to choose who our bosses are. The people decide. And whoever the people put, that's who we work with. Be very clear about that process. And it doesn't matter whether the person, you know them, you like them, they're more educated than you, they're less educated than you. It matters not. They are the people's representatives. Respect them because they are the people's voice, the people's representatives. So, with that understanding, the nation decides, and you work with whoever you're given. Every minister has a different style. And I've always said to my colleagues, it is our job to adapt to the style of the minister. Now, some people don't agree with me on that, but that is my experience, and that's how I've always approached the job. Understand your minister, him or her, and he or she's rather, and you make the adjustment to be able to work with them. Because what one has to do is develop a working relationship. Some ministers and PSs get on better than others. Some have great relationships. Some have not very good relationships. But you need to have mutual respect. And you, as public servants, we're unelected, they're elected. Sometimes the politicians think they know everything. They don't know everything. But they're the people's representatives, so respect that. Sometimes public servants get on as if they're elected, and they want to almost, because they have technical advice to give, the politicians have to listen to them, or else. And you can't take that approach. So I've always felt, we are there to give advice. And after the decision is taken by the policymaker, which is not the public servant, it is the politician, the cabinet, then we implement. Advise and implement. It is our job to give fearless advice. Fearless advice. To speak truth to power. So we tell them what they need to hear, not necessarily what they want to hear. But you also approach it in a manner of wanting to help. Because I've seen some public servants who don't want to help, who want to be difficult. There's a term they use in public reform, public administration, called malicious compliance, where they make it very difficult for the government to implement an agenda. If you get elected and you have a mandate, then obviously the people give you a chance to implement something. So it is our job to work with them to help them implement whatever it is.
Right.
I say to the staff, to my colleagues, let us try to make our minister look good. And there are different ways, depending on who the minister is. It may mean a lot of background work. It may mean a lot, a little more upfront work. It depends on the style of the minister. and what their preference is. So you figure that out and you work with them. So I've adjusted. There are times I've been more out front, there are times I've been less out front, depending on the style of the minister and the preferences of the minister. But always give advice. Always give the best advice. Always tell them how you see it, not worrying about the consequences. But not unmindful, because if you are a senior public servant, there's something called political economy. You cannot be unmindful. So I hear things public servants talk about, me, I ain't not dealing with any politicians. I'm not giving technical advice. That's a very stupid comment. It does not make a lot of sense. It's a very foolish comment. You have to give advice in a context. You have to understand the context. You have to look at the political imperatives, and it's a context. So when you're giving advice, you cannot be unmindful of the political realities. That does not mean to say that you have to change your advice, but you have to give advice that will make sense. Because what are we trying to do? We are trying to influence our policymakers. That's the thing a lot of public servants do not appreciate. It's not about power. It's about influence. I am trying to influence a minister in a certain policy direction. He may or may not listen. If he or she chooses not to listen, that's their right.
Right.
Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm wrong. But if I'm right and they're wrong, the nation will pay. They will pay. The nation will punish them at the next polls. So don't get too upset.
And personal
if your advice is not taken. I mean, sometimes you work hard to put advice together and then it gets ignored and you feel, well, why did I bother? But your job is to give the best advice. Their job is to make the decision. So let's be clear on the roles and build that relationship. Build that relationship. Because it comes down to trust. At the end of the day, a minister will listen to you if he or she trusts you. And if he or she doesn't trust you, they're not going to listen to you. And it does not matter whether you're giving good advice or not. So making silly comments, taking a standoffish approach, does not help you to influence anything. You might be 100% right, but have no influence. What effect is that? Zero. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, especially at the senior level, there has to be an understanding of the role of the public servant. There's also a rule, and I've said this before. When I joined the public service, it was about policy advice and implementation. But especially in the last decade, the role has evolved, and there's a role for advocacy. That space where you engage in social partners in helping to form policy. And not every public servant is comfortable with that. There are some public servants, me, that's for politicians. I am not getting involved in that. So they don't want to come on a program like this, or they wouldn't want to go to the public and explain a policy. And of course, there's a thin line sometimes between explaining and defending, because really the defense is for the politician, the explanation. Technocrats may have to provide explanation depending on what it is. But I'm saying that to say there's a triple role. It's not just advice and implementation, but perhaps a role of advocacy leading to advice and then implementation. And the modern public servant, especially at the senior ranks, must be comfortable with all three roles. Must be comfortable.
So you must be comfortable with
engagement, policy dialogue, engaging social partners, including the opposition, where appropriate and necessary. Advice, giving advice to the politician, the directorate, and implementing. When the decision is made, and that's the very important piece, when the decision is made, whether you agree with the decision or not, once it's not illegal, it is your job to implement the decision. And with sometimes you see situations where people, because they don't like the decision, they're not implementing it.
And that happened within the public service?
That does happen. Unfortunately, it does happen, and it ought not to happen. Right? You give advice, and then once the decision is made, you respect the fact that it's their call, and you try to implement it as best as you could. And you implement it with enthusiasm such that people wouldn't know whether you agree with the decision or not. And you have to understand the context. I mean, the Prime Minister and I may have a discussion. We may have a very robust debate. We may not agree on all the issues. But at the end of the day, I might be able to convince him. He might say, I may not be able to. And I may say, well, he may say, well, Timmy, I hear you, but that's my call. This is how I see it. And at the end of the day, he's the head of government. He makes the final call. Sometimes I meet a person, you say, yeah, all right, I see where you want to go. I see where you're going with that. I agree with you. Let's go that. It's give and take. So you don't always, but it's influence. But when the decision gets made, it's time to implement and do your best to implement and do it well. So that is, So my experience with working with politician journey has been good. I've worked with politicians across different administrations, and I've always had a respect for who is in office, and I've tried my best to support them. Because there is something that drives me. Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do, do it as if you're serving God, not man. In other words, God is your boss. That's the bottom line. God is your boss. If public servants understood that, and not just public servants, any employee understood that, productivity would go through the roof. Because we recognize not whether we like the person or not. We have a duty, a professional duty, obligation. And for those of us who are in faith, a spiritual imperative to walk as if we're working for God, not man. Do our best at all times. And that is what I have essayed to do with God's help over my 22 years in public life.
Mm. What would you say to the politician, those aspiring politicians trying to get into public office? What would you say to them coming and working in public service? Or to those who are there now?
Well, I'm not sure I'm in a good position to give advice to politicians. What I would simply say from my experience in public life is love people. Love people. Because the honest truth is, politics is rough. It is difficult. And if you're not in it for the right reason, you're going to get very frustrated very fast. You have to have a deep love for people. And you have to work with people. You have to work with people. A lot of people keep complaining about people, but there's nothing in life that gets accomplished without people. So the issue, it's not easy. People are difficult. Relationships are not easy. But you cannot get anything done in life without people. So love people and learn to work with people. The public servants, the whoever you know you have on the team, and you know, obviously sometimes you have to get the right team around you and so on. That's part of management. But that's all I could say.
Well said, well said. Folks, I take a word from our sponsors. I come back. I'm speaking with the outgoing permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance, Mr. Timothy Entwined, and who is the newly appointed governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. When I come back, about his leaving, we want to know what that is, the position will take the place, those questions that we all are hungering to hear. I would ask him those questions on my return. This is a special edition of Inside Finance. Mr. Timothy Entwined is with me in the house.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. I am Stanford Simon. I'm speaking to Mr. Timothy Entwined, outgoing permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance and the newly appointed governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. Now, all said and done, with all that has happened, all the atmosphere, the appointment, the phone call has come in, you slept and awake in 24 hours. Mindset, thinking through, answering the emails and all of that. Now, moving forward in what to come. When do you assume your new position?
February 1st, 2016.
Wow, is that soon?
Yes, it is. It is soon. There are many things to address. So the transition has to be fairly short. And of course, Dwight limited since December 1st. So we do need to move forward. You know, you want to avoid a leadership vacuum. So my task really is to try to transition out properly, but quickly, and transition in.
So pretty much within the next week or two, you're gone?
Couple weeks, yeah.
Couple weeks, yeah, not much weeks left, but yes. February 1st
become the one. Yes, and obviously we have to make plans for family relocation and so on. So we have to put those things together.
So what happens between this time and the time that you take your appointment?
Transition. So I work on transition at two levels. A transition out of the Ministry of Finance. So right now I'm working on a transition brief. And of course, I'll be meeting with my colleagues in the Ministry of Finance on specific issues, follow up, trying to tie up loose some loose ends, and generally to hand over properly to my successor. So that is going to be happening. While that is happening, I'll also be starting my transition into the bank. So I will be receiving briefings on certain specific issues, even before officially assuming the job, so that obviously I'm kept up to date and I can even give input at this stage on certain decisions. And then, of course, I will formally assume on the first. So one of the things, for example, that we have to do is to meet with the labor, the public sector unions. Very soon, we'll be inviting them to some discussions. We have some very important issues to discuss, and we want to be able to do that. We had planned to do it, obviously, before the decision, and I want to make sure we do it before I leave. So, obviously, the process will continue after me, but we were going to do that. So that's just one of the things. And you're probably wondering what we want to talk to the unions about.
Well, that was my next question. Quickly, I haven't been
asked. Essentially, I won't go into details, but we want to discuss with them pension reform, salary negotiations, increments, and public sector reform. So those are some of the issues that we'll be meeting with them very soon to discuss. And, you know, there are a couple other areas where I'll be focused.
Focus. Who will take over from you? I guess all heirs want to know who will take over from you.
Good question, and we'll know soon. I will not preempt the Public Service Commission, who has to make an appointment acting on the advice, the Governor General, actually, acting on the advice of the Prime Minister. That's how permanent secretaries are appointed.
So the Prime Minister advised the Governor General.
Yeah, for
the Governor General advised the Public
Service Commission.
That's
correct. That's the way it generally works. So I have two deputy permanent secretaries, Mike Sylvester, who you know, I think many people know Mike, and more recently. And Mike is responsible for economic management and planning. And then we have Pauline Peters, who came in September, responsible for administration.
She was working somewhere else?
She had taken a couple of years off to help Bahamas set up their VAT. Prior to that, she was the Comptroller of Inland Revenue. So when she came back, I asked her to step up and become Deputy PS for administration. So Pauline is doing that. Whenever I'm out, Mike acts as PS. The decision will get made. I don't think it will be a surprise, but I will let that decision get announced in the right time.
Right. You're leaving that to the politicians.
I gave you a hint without telling you anything, without saying one.
Yes. How do you feel, though, about leaving Grenada? I mean, you have left and come back to the World Bank, but now you're leaving again, and this time it's going to be for a long time. Hopefully.
I'm not going to comment on length of time. What I will say is that I have mixed feelings. Grenada is home, and there's no place like home. I love this country. I have developed strong bonds with the team in the Ministry of Finance and people across the public service with whom I've worked over the last couple decades. They're colleagues in the Ministry of Finance who I love, and they're long-term friendships, long-term relationships where we work together. And when you go through tough times, you bond. You know, it's like a team. You face adversity together and you come out. So I'm going to miss those colleagues. I'm going to miss those guys. So there is mixed feelings, obviously. There are other things like family and church. We're missing George Baptist Church.
We're going to miss you too. I didn't want to say that because our folks had a week of prayer. We were praying for you. And when I told them on Friday that their dog spent, the church, I was shocked at the response, you know. So I know St. George's Church really going to miss you.
And so will I. Your church has been and is a very warm church. I've always felt that. And I'm going to miss that. So those are things which I genuinely enjoy and will miss. So that's the mixed feeling. But on the other side, I'm looking forward to the new challenge. I really am. I feel this is the path that God is leading me at this time. And therefore, I am going in faith and in that knowledge, and where God appoints, he equips. So I'm looking forward to that. But it is a mixed
feeling.
This point, yeah.
Your new job is going to be a very demanding one. What do you see as the key challenges for the ECCB and the region as we go forward? What do you see?
Yeah, the job is going to be very demanding. There's a question about that. There are many challenges facing the our region, and the bank, of course, is a critical institution in our region. The top three challenges, I would say, are financial stability. So we have to address the issue with our banks, where we have issues that have to be addressed. Fiscal and debt sustainability. I think everyone knows we have debt issues, challenges in the region. Some countries are taking important steps, including what we've done in Grenada. Others, of course, need to do a bit more, and we'll be encouraging and supporting all our countries to do that. And then growth, competitiveness, and employment. Growth, competitiveness, and employment. That is clearly a major challenge. We have to raise the level of growth in our economies if we want to address both financial stability and fiscal and debt sustainability. We need a growing economy. If we need to address the issue of job creation, we need a growing economy. But we cannot lose sight of the matter of competitiveness, because we're competing not amongst ourselves but the rest of the world. And therefore, we have to look at even take something as simple as your labor code. You have to understand you're not competing within Grenada only or across the region. You're competing with the world. And if you're in the business of tourism, you have to look, how do you stack up against other countries on this matter of competitiveness? I mean, I won't go into the details now, but I would say those are the top three: financial stability, fiscal and debt sustainability, and growth, competitiveness, and employment. So one of the things I have done when I was interviewed by the Monetary Council is to discuss a program of action, that to address a number of these issues. And we'll be working on those issues. I'm not unfamiliar with many of these. Well, obviously, the team at the Central Bank, I know many of the managers there. I've worked with them over time. So I anticipate I'll be able to step in and get on with it pretty quickly.
Okay, it's not that you are foreign to...
No, I'm not foreign to the issues, and I'm not foreign to many of the persons at the bank or even at the Monetary Council.
Okay.
These are some of these people I've worked with for years. So although I'm an outsider, as in I've never worked in the Central Bank, but I am familiar with the processes and the personality of our currency union, which we have some very unique arrangements in the currency union, very unique. But I'm familiar with those arrangements. There's still going to be a lot to learn, but I'm bringing certain experiences and competencies to the table as I assume the position of governor. And I'm really looking forward to working with the Monetary Council, the management and staff of the Central Bank, and many of our development partners across the region, some of whom have already been in touch. Heads of some of these institutions have already been in touch with me to wish me well and to express the confidence that we're going to work well together. We're going to do things, get things done together. So with God's help, I am looking forward to the challenge.
I can't believe we come to the end of this discussion. And the next time I may talk with you, it would be, you have the position. I'm outgoing permanent secretary in the Ministry of Finance, and now a newly appointed position. What is there anything you want to say to us that as you reflect on your own journey, where you are and what you want to say to the nation?
Well, I think to our young people, I want to say, with God, all things are possible. And therefore, I want to encourage you to deepen your faith in God and to take a stand for Christ. There are no inconsistencies. You cannot push career and not serve God. Some people seem to think you have to make a decision, and I don't think you have to. You need to make a decision to serve God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. That's my, as a person of faith, I truly believe that. Right? There's some people who may not want to hear me talk about these things on this program, but I mean, that's how, where I am, that's who I am, and that's who I am. So I make no apologies for that. So I want to encourage young people to dream your dreams and to dream big. And so Grenada must play a very key role in the currency union, and I expect Grenada to do that. And then I would simply again thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for the expressions of love and support I have been receiving and continue to receive. I'm homegrown. I'm born and bred Grenadian, and I'm very proud of my heritage. I'm humbled by the call to serve at another level, at a higher level, and with God's help and so on, I will do that. Let me say this. This is very important. I covet your prayers. You prayed me in, and now you must help pray me through. So Grenadians, I'm counting on you to keep me in your prayers. And with God's help, I will do my best to represent our region and to do us well and proud. Thank you very much.
What is the slogan for the Ministry of Finance?
STAR. Shared sacrifice, teamwork, accountability, results. And it's going to be very important for us to continue to hold that mantra dear and close to us, and to continue Inside Finance. And I'm holding everybody accountable, them and you, Pastor Simon, to ensure I can continue to listen to Inside Finance. And when I have the opportunity, of course, I'll be more than willing to be a part of the program. It means a lot to me, too.
I'd be happy to. And I want to make my commitment to you for this program, Inside Finance. I'll continue to make myself available to ensure every week that I'm available to do an interview to whoever they would send to me to speak to. And I'll be delighted to. And whoever the new person would be in the Ministry of Finance, I want to say to them here publicly and make my commitment to this program, Inside Finance.
I thank you. I thank you for your partnership. I really, really do appreciate you, Pastor Simon, and I want to let you know that I look forward to ways and means to collaborate. There are some things, I don't want to say too much yet, but I have a few ideas for the Central Bank, and there's some lessons we can learn even from what we've done here that I think we can share with the region. And I'd be happy to help share that lesson.
I believe so. And in whatever way that I can help, I would make myself readily available to help.
Thank you. And God bless you, your church, and of course all the partners.
Thank you very much, Mr. Timothy Antwine. This has been a special, very, very special edition of Inside Finance with Mr. Timothy Antwine, who is outgoing prominent secretary in the Ministry of Finance and now newly appointed as the governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. To all of the person who are listening, I want to indicate to you this program will be made available on the Ministry of Finance website. It also will be available on the sgbcgrenada.com website, and I'll share it with whoever want this program to be aired on any of the radio station. Please give me a call and I'll email it to you so you can have it. But it'll also be available on Ministry of Finance website and sgbcgrenada.com website. Thank you so much again, Mr. Timothy Antwine. Congratulations to you and to your family on behalf of the St. George's Baptist Church, Grenada Baptist Association, the Springs community of churches who you have worked with. I want to say thank you on behalf of all my listeners throughout the length and breadth of this country and across the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you for Inside Finance, the commitment and the shared sacrifice that you have given over the months and, well, 2 years now we have been doing this program. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for making it possible. I now understand the Ministry of Finance far more, and many persons, if yesterday a general met me, he said, I really, really appreciate Mr. Timothy Antwine and the work we have been doing in explaining what the Ministry of Finance is all about. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you too. And to all my listeners, thank you. This has been a special edition of Inside Finance with Mr. Timothy Antwine, outgoing permanent secretary in Ministry of Finance and now newly appointed governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank. I am Pastor Stanford Simon, wishing you a very blessed and enjoyable day. Go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. The program is there also on the Ministry of Finance website. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.